880 AM, The Biz, South Florida's only all-business station, welcomes you to Freed on Business. He grew up in South Florida, has been in business here since the early 1990s, and has closed over $1 billion in deals. He's seen it all. He always has an opinion, and he's always ready to share it. Informed, entertaining, and connected, he has his finger on the throbbing pulse of South Florida's business community. He's Jim Freed, exclusively on 880 AM, The Biz. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, here's your host, Jim Freed.
All right, South Florida, this is Jim Freed. It's Friday at 3, but we're still live. We're live from the Ackerman Centerfit Real Estate Conference 2012. We're going to have a great lineup for you today. We've got some of the top real estate experts from Miami and around the country here to talk real estate. Our first guest today is Neeson Kasdan. Neeson is the chairman and chief shareholder of Ackerman's Miami office, former mayor of Miami Beach, and a big mover and shaker in Miami's downtown development and redevelopment efforts. Neeson, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be back. And it's a much nicer studio that you're in this time than I was in last time, I want you to know.
Yeah, the studio is much nicer. It helps when I got Ackerman Center for fitting the bill for me to do my show live from the Marriott Marquis in downtown Miami. It's just absolutely great. Now, Neeson, we're here at the third annual National Real Estate Conference for Ackerman Centerfit, Ackerman Centerfit Real Estate 2012. What prompted you guys to put on a program like this?
Well, you know, Ackerman has a fantastic real estate practice. It's a national real estate practice. We have, Richel will tell you about this later, probably close to 100 attorneys in various areas of real estate.
And that's Rich Beazle, the head of your real estate practice group.
Yes.
Rich will be on in a minute.
And so it was natural for us to bring all of our practitioners together and our clients together and offer them really best in the market information and discussions. And it started 3 years ago at a time when I think, you know, everybody was hungry for information or insight into what was happening with the real estate market. Had we reached bottom? Were things going to turn around? What sectors of the market were going to do well?
Where are we in the U?
Where are we in the U? That's right. And so it made sense for us to do this.
Well, it's great. I can only say that I've been to all three. They continuously get better. The venues are fabulous every single time. And the speakers are terrific. I really do want to thank Jason Bovis and Joel Staley for working with us to bring our show here to the event. And it's been absolutely terrific. Now, let's talk a little bit about your area of expertise. Downtown Miami. It ain't the downtown Miami that I grew up with. The other day, I live on the north side of downtown in the Midtown area, and I drove down for a dinner engagement at Capitol Grill, and we decided not to take I-95. We would take Biscayne Boulevard. Oh, my God. I got to say it again. Oh, my God, what a complete different change. And my wife, when we made the turn to go into Capitol Grill, right in front of all the related deals, said she couldn't believe it. It's a whole new city. This was your plan, wasn't it?
Well, it is both personally and professionally very gratifying to see what's happened to downtown Miami. Now, after I left public office, I immediately focused my attention on downtown as the next great opportunity. Went on the board of the DDA became vice chair about 5 or so years ago. We actually, at the DDA, we drafted ourselves, and with the help of the New World Center Committee, the Greater Miami Chamber, which I then chaired, the Downtown Master Plan. And so I've been focused on downtown as the next great urban center and opportunity. You know, a lot of people in the public sector and private investors have made this happen, and it's certainly taken off in a major way. And I would tell you that in terms of my practice as well, all the way from the design district down through the Brickell Corridor, we are seeing so much investment of a quality and quantity that has never been experienced in this area before. We're working on more major projects and other projects of substance as well. This area is transforming before our eyes.
It's really incredible to me because one of the more interesting transformations that I've been watching is It sounds rather mundane. There's a self-storage facility right by Midtown. It changed hands a couple of times. They now have on the boards a design to totally reclad the project. When I asked them why they're doing that, they said, don't you see what's going on in the neighborhood?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I would focus on three things that I think are the sort of signature or the most important signs of this revitalization. Two of them are projects that we are very involved in getting all the entitlements and regulatory approvals. One is Brickell City Center by Swire, you know, which is a multi-billion dollar Hong Kong company. It's been announced they have their financing with HSBC, not that they need it in any way. But
it's always good to have somebody else to share the risk with, and it's the American way, using leverage.
And that is a 4.6 million square foot mixed-use project, bringing the first major retail to downtown, tying into the Metro Mover. An extraordinary project, two levels of underground parking, a kind of Rockefeller Center for Miami. And then on the far northern end, another project we're heavily involved in is the Design District retail expansion. And, of course, it came out in the newspaper, Wall Street Journal, within the last month that all of the LVMH and Richemont brands, approximately two dozen, will be leaving Bell Harbor.
I can't wait. It's right by my house. I already go to Brown's to get my hair cut. All you're going to do is make it harder for me to find a parking space, but that's your job.
No, Lisa. We're going to make your haircut more expensive.
That, too. I already know that.
But and so you have these anchors, and then a lot of other retail activity happening in the Midtown Design District area. So between that, the big story, of course, which, as you know,
in the middle, so to speak.
In the middle, of course, was Genting, which is still going to proceed with a more modest scale project. But the other thing that's of particular interest is the huge investment in multifamily housing.
Well, I live in an apartment building in Midtown. It's just spectacular what's going on. I must say is that we do need a couple of extra lanes on Biscayne Boulevard if you got a little pull with the DOT there. But it's just great what's been going on.
Let me tell you what I think you'll see. I'm very bullish on Mayor Jimenez, who is very much into improving our urban transportation system. And I think once he gets through with the next election, you're going to see some pretty important plans come out about linking Wynwood, the Design District, Brickell, Midtown, Miami Beach, downtown. Because in the urban core today, you have a density of population, you have hundreds of thousands of jobs, you have the activity centers, you know, from the arena to the museums. And if you tie that in as well to Miami Beach, you could tie a large part of the urban core in through premium transit. So that's the next.
Premium transit? Are we talking light rail?
Would be nice.
Well, that sounds great. I love what they're doing in Orlando. Former CFO of State of Florida, Alex Sink, was here at the Ackerman Conference at lunchtime, and she spoke about the benefits that Orlando is seeing from its new expansion of light rail in Orlando, and I think it'd be great down here. I'm a personal advocate of using the Eastern Rail Line as what I call the Long Island Railroad of South Florida.
Well, and that's another way in which downtown Miami and the downtowns along up and down the East Coast Corridor will benefit. There ultimately will be passenger rail along the Florida East Coast Railway Corridor, and it will go straight into downtown Miami, and will enhance the connectivity for people from the region who work here or want to visit here, and will benefit cities up and down the line, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm.
Oh, I think it'll be great. For everything from increasing the tax base to bringing new residents to increasing the need for retail to just increasing the ability to do business in an easy way, because I got to tell you, it's more and more difficult to come into downtown on the peak. You have to come in. I only make meetings in downtown at 10 or 2. I won't do it at any other time anymore, and I only live a few minutes away. It just gets to be ridiculous.
But, you know,
although I will say it was great to get here at 8 in the morning, easy at 8. Easy
well, I'll
at
tell
8.
You, I mean, many of the meetings or hearings that I have to go to around downtown, I'll take the Metro Mover or walk, unless it's, 100 degrees outside. And so what you're going to see, Jim, is not everybody's going to be able to be serviced by transit, but what you're going to see is a large portion of the population is centering its lives, jobs, activities in the urban core. That group will be able to be served by transit. It'll be like my son and his girlfriend who live downtown in Biscayne. They're a one-car family.
Yeah, you don't really need it anymore. Miami is becoming an urban place. I wrote an article in the early part of the last decade, and I talked about the Manhattanization of Miami, and that was just given the fact that Harvey Taylor had built the first Publix. Now in that same market, we're going to have three Publixes there, two Publixes in Midtown, the market in downtown Miami. Miami is truly evolving into a world-class city, and some of our city fathers, I'm going to have to call you a city father, Neeson, I'm sorry, are here to thank. People like you who have the grand vision and the ability to stand behind the political and economic muscle to do things. I never thought that I would see Flagler go in two directions. You get a high five just for that. All right, we've only got a minute left, Neeson. So tell me, if people want to get some more information about your practice, you do a lot of land use and stuff like that. How do they get a hold of you?
Well, watch Public Access TV.
Oh, that's my favorite thing to do all day.
Yeah, you can call me at or email me at Akerman Center Fit. It's Neeson, Neisen, .Kasdan, Kasdin, at Akerman, Akerman.com. And, happy to talk to anybody about the potential for development and important plans for our town.
All right, well, we'll be right back after this short break with Scott Hyland. He's the Director for Real Estate Advisory Services for Deloitte Financial Advisory Services. Make sure you stick with us for more from the Akerman 2012 Real Estate Conference. Back after this.
Hi, this is Jim Fried. Need commercial real estate financing? How about some equity to get your project capitalized? I can help. Call me at 305-854-5000, extension 222. Apartments, retail, hotel, office, and healthcare. We can help you get capitalized. Need to restructure your capital stack? Call me at 305-854-5000, extension 222.
What does it mean when you're the first to use a patient's own stem cells to repair his damaged heart? When you're the first to develop life-saving techniques to treat a baby still inside its mother's womb? It means all at once, one health system becomes a magnet for world-renowned specialists in every field of medicine. A place where doctors spend their lives discovering ways to save yours. That's why every year our life-saving innovations attract patients from every corner of the globe. Shouldn't we be your first choice for healthcare too? We are UHealth, the University of Miami Health System, South Florida's most advanced medical care. Learn more at uhealthsystem.com or call 1-877-243-4340.
Ask Dr. Victor Franks how I lost 40 pounds in 4 months under his supervision. Ask Dr. Victor Franks how to lose weight and stay healthy without working out. Ask Dr. Victor Franks how to relax and stay that way for hours. Ask Dr. Victor Franks how to keep your energy up while you increase your workload or your workout load. Ask Dr. Franks by calling 305-975-8748 or go to his website, www.AskDrFranks.com. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to Fried on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
All right. We are back. We are back, and we are going to talk recovery and trends with Scott Hyland. Scott is the Director of Real Estate Advisory Services for the Deloitte Financial Advisory Services, and we're coming to you live from Miami from the Akerman U.S. Real Estate Summit 2012. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Pleasure to be here, Jim.
Well, thanks for being on the show. Now, we know that the national real estate trends are somewhat up on an overall basis, but that's kind of spotty, right?
That is correct. It's a very bifurcated market. Depends on location and asset type in terms of recovery.
Now, a lot of that, when you say asset type and location, you're really talking, I'm going to use a term here, core or non-core. Core being urban, upscale, international city, non-core being Not that. Is that about right?
That is about right. Core being kind of the coastal cities, New York, Washington, San Francisco, a little bit of Chicago, and then non-core would be the rest of the country.
Oh, come on. Miami gets a little taste of love there, don't we?
Well, I always consider Miami to be a suburb of New York, so you can kind of latch on to that.
Oh, I don't only latch on to it. I got that copyrighted. Miami is the missing borough of New York. Believe me, I know. I moved here when I was 8 from Bergen County. So, Scott, what is the property type that you see leading the recovery? And please don't say multifamily, because that's been recovering in the recovery.
That's correct. Well, multifamily is already headed towards the other side with respect to recovery.
We've hit the inflection point on multifamily?
We have, because there's a lot of new construction in the pipeline.
Okay.
So that'll take care of the recovery very quickly.
Well, everybody's a lemming. They always build everything that everybody else is doing. So what do you think is the next opportunity out there?
I'd say the next opportunity is probably industrial. There's still, as the economy continues to grow, there'll be a lot of opportunities to build manufacturing-type space. And again, that's something that's a large presence in South Florida.
Well, I would say industrial is a large presence in South Florida, but not manufacturing. I would say perhaps assembly.
Right.
But we do a lot of bulk and transshipment, and with the Panama Canal thing, I guess if you're really a smart guy, you're building a bunch of cross docks.
That is correct.
What cross docks are, just for you folks, is that you load the they have loading on one side and unloading on the other. So when it comes in and you break the bulk in Miami, that's why you would need the cross docks. And I guess that means that we're really concerned about what goes on in Latin America, Europe, and I guess the expansion of the Panama Canal and eventually Asia.
That is correct. One thing has taught us with the recent real estate recession is we really need to be concerned with what's happening globally. Last year in 2011, whenever there was a blip in Europe, that translated immediately back to the U.S. and the commercial real estate markets.
Now, in the beginning of 2011, we all thought that the real estate market was coming back. I'm going to use the green shoots or whatever they used. They thought that the recovery was here. And then suddenly, the European debt crisis happened. A couple of other, I'll have to call them black swan events, occurred. So here we are now in 2012. It feels an awful like the beginning of 2011. Are we going to make it through to the other side this time?
Well, the hope is we are going to make it through to the other side. I think people are being very careful this time around and not get too far ahead of themselves. Beginning in 2011, and we got a little exuberant and ahead of ourselves, and I think now people are being a little more cautious.
Well, how about hospitality? Hospitality is a big industry here in South Florida and Florida in general and all across the country in those major core markets that you were talking about. How's hospitality faring now, and what's the outlook for the future?
Well, hospitality is doing very well. Obviously, the number of tourists is up nationally. We have a number of international visitors who are coming to the States, so that's all very positive. And I think the population here in the U.S. Is much more prone to take vacations and move around. So that's all good news for the hospitality industry. Trends are definitely headed in the right direction.
Yeah, but you gave me a little cloud on the horizon there when you said that people like to move around on vacation. With gas prices inching up and potentially skyrocketing, should there be continuing turmoil in the Middle East, is the economy set to be able to handle the kind of fuel shock we saw a couple of years ago? It seems like there's a little bit more elasticity there.
There is a little more elasticity. And again, if the gasoline prices are very high, I think people will stick closer to home. So maybe you don't take an international trip, but maybe you take something locally. And that'll benefit all the U.S. cities.
Uh-huh. So the staycation is a word for 2012 as well then.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, being here in Florida, I love those Florida-only vacation specials that we get. So that sounds good to me. So we've talked about all the different food groups. Let's talk a little bit about what you do at Deloitte. What is the Deloitte Financial Advisory Services practice all about?
I actually work in real estate advisory services, uh-huh. And that encompasses any type of valuation-related work, restructuring-related work, anything that touches real estate throughout its life cycle.
Okay, feasibility?
Could be feasibility.
I know that's not necessarily your hot topic right now. But
Not a lot of feasibility studies being undertaken at the moment, but potentially if the market gets better, it could be that also.
Okay, well, hopefully a lot of people will order feasibility studies so only the good stuff gets built. I know the bad feasibility studies, they get stopped in the middle.
Exactly.
Now, what do you see as far as the national picture for an improving economy? It seems as though with the election on the horizon, fundamentals are going to stay rather static.
That's correct. We're looking for pretty much more of the same. in 2012 that we saw last year. Wouldn't expect to see a lot happening in terms of new policies or new regulatory issues coming up this year. With the election, we're looking at next year until anything new comes down the pike.
Well, Scott, we've only got about 30 seconds left in our segment. If people want to get a hold of you, get some more information, learn more about Deloitte and their real estate advisory services, how do they do that?
Sure. You can obviously look online at Deloitte.com or reach me at sheilman@Deloitte.com. Very easy.
Oh, that was easy, and so were you. What a great guest. We're going to be right back after this short break with Rich Beazel, the national head of real estate for Ackerman. Back after this. Watch out, Rich.
This is Hugo Perez of DataCorp. In today's fast-paced business climate, a business executive like you needs help keeping up with technology innovations that can help drive profits. DataCorp is the IT partner that you're looking for. DataCorp has been recognized as the number one ranked small business in South Florida. Our 10 years of service excellence integrating server systems got us to the top. Let us help you get to number one in your field. Make DataCorp your IT trusted advisor. Call me, Hugo Perez, at 954-671-5650. Again, that is 954-671-5650, or visit our website, www.data-corporation.com. And remember, DataCorp is powered by partnerships and driven by service.
At the heart of medical breakthroughs are doctors who refuse to accept the status quo. There's one health system that supports their efforts like no other, providing an environment that encourages innovation and life-saving discoveries. That's why world-renowned specialists in every field of medicine practice here, literally transforming medicine as we know it. Our doctors spend their lives discovering ways to save yours. And isn't that who you want taking care of you? We are U Health, the University of Miami Health System, South Florida's most advanced medical care. Learn more at uhealthsystem.com or call 1-877-243-4340.
At Estrella Marketing Solutions, their dedicated and highly skilled professionals are committed to the success of each and every valued client. With decades of combined experience in marketing, internet technologies, database management, as well as art and design, the Estrella team is more than equal to the task at hand, helping companies make the most effective use of their marketing budget while providing the expertise and support required to consistently achieve superior results. Estrella backs their people up with cutting-edge technology, superior customer support systems, and all the tools they need to ensure the best possible result with every campaign Estrella develops, manages, and tracks. They are helping Jim Fried build his business. Let them help you build yours. So join companies like Kraft, Motorola, TiVo, Best Western, Dish Network, National Geographic, AT&T, and Microsoft, and become a member of the Estrella team. Call Adam at 561-274-4443 or look Estrella up on their website at www.estrellams.com.
You're listening to Fried on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
All right, we are back. We are here at the Ackerman U.S. Real Estate Summit 2012 here in Miami, but it's a national show, and we have got Richard Beazel, National Real Estate Practice Group Chair for Ackerman CenterFit with us. Welcome to the show, Rich.
Thank you, Jim. Welcome to you, too.
Hey, thanks so much, man. Now, tell me, what does the National Real Estate Practice Group Chair do at Ackerman CenterFit?
Well, I oversee about 100 professionals that deal in the real estate market, both on the real estate transactional side, and we also get into people that do construction work, environmental work, and land use and planning work, as well as transactions.
And what do you do when you're actually billing hours?
Mine? I'm a transactional attorney. So I'm doing deals, helping people buy and sell commercial real estate, doing leasing work on commercial real estate, and I do loan workouts for some of the banks.
loan workouts for some of the banks. I guess not all of the banks can do loan workouts right now. So now, let's see. With the recovery starting to begin to show itself, what are you noticing that's different in the documentation of transactions?
Well, I guess you got to break it down by type of transaction. We're seeing some purchases and sales that are done, and the diligence is a little bit more extensive, especially on the financial diligence. We see that a lot. The amount of documents that buyers want to see from sellers has increased as well. The background documents, much more in the way of what the leasing files were than they used to be. They want to know what's been going on with the tenants for the last couple of years.
Now, how about the leases? Are there kind of new lease clauses that are coming in that people need to look out for?
Yes and no. For the most part, we've got some creative things going on out there. Some of the national tenants that we see our developers dealing with are putting in provisions about not only green, but they want to be able to generate their own power. So they're asking for the right to put solar cells on top of retail buildings. They're asking to be able to put windmills on top of retail buildings.
Well, how does that work with the CAM? That would seem to me to be a pushback on CAM. It would be very interesting if they're pushing their meter back.
Well, it all depends on how they are assessed by the landlord. If the landlord's not, if the tenant is paying utilities directly, then it's just a wash and it doesn't go through the landlord's numbers anyway.
All right, well, that's, I don't want to get too technical on stuff, but that's really interesting that not only green, but now power generation is starting to come into view. Now, how are things changing with Ackerman's practice? How is that evolving nationally, adding certain people in certain areas, not focusing on other practice areas? Is that how you're managing your business?
Well, we are growing. We're all trying to change. We're taking more of a national look at what's going on. We've increased our representation of some of the investment funds and some of the REITs on the real estate side, doing transactions with them. And we'll continue to look at that as a growing area for it. We have continued to be strong in some of the – our real estate group, the way we tried to build it, is make it a full-service continuation for the clients. So they can come in, and no matter what service they need, on the commercial side, we can help them with that.
Now, I've met real estate lawyers from your New York office. I've met real estate lawyers from your South Florida offices. What other offices have real estate capabilities?
Well, we're throughout the state of Florida.
Okay.
Our Washington, D.C. office can do transactions, as well as we have a very strong construction group in our D.C. office. They do construction projects nationally. They help write the documents. And then if they get into trouble, they can handle the litigation that goes with it.
Oh, wow. So you've got real estate in New York, Washington, and all throughout Florida. That's terrific. And you can, I'm sure, follow your clients with relationships that you have just about anywhere in the country.
That's right. And some of our clients do that. We do deals around the country. You know, we follow the clients and handle their needs that way.
Now, how do you look to grow your firm's real estate practice in the future? Are you looking for some younger lawyers? Are you looking for some I guess you would call them lateral transfers? Are you looking for practice leaders? Because you've got a heck of a stable that I've met so far today.
Well, thanks, Jim. And we are on both accounts. We're looking to add people to our markets that can bring their books of business to us and that we can help service our clients in the way they want to have them serviced. We've been talking to some people from larger firms, and they like the fact that our billing rates can be a little bit lower than what they're billing right now. Some of them have expertise that fit in nicely and complement what we have. We're also looking at adding some associates where we need to strategically to support it so that our rates can stay very competitive in the marketplace.
Well, I know that you were one of the most profitable firms in the country last year with incredible growth from the top line and, I'm sure, on the bottom line. With Andrew not being here, I guess you're the top representative to say, hey, high five to you.
Thank you.
Now, what do you see as the future for the real estate department at Ackerman, and I guess using that in general, what's the evolutionary track that real estate departments are taking in major law firms across the country, with you guys being a fabulous example?
Well, Jim, I think you have to keep sight of the services we have to provide to the clients. So where we're heading is really where our clients are heading. And that evolves, as you've heard today throughout the summit. You know, the markets and the industry itself seem to be changing on almost a daily basis. So it's trying to stay up with our clients, finding out what they need, and position ourselves so that when they need our help, we're there with whatever they need.
Well, it sounds to me as though if somebody is a large or small real estate firm, if they're looking to do something locally or nationally, that Ackerman Centerfit is able to help them in many markets and many facets of real estate. Now, if people wanted to get a hold of you, Rich, how would they find you?
They can go to our website, Ackerman.com, or they can contact me or Richard Beasel at Ackerman.com.
Okay, well, Rich, thanks so much for being on the show. Thanks so much for hosting such a great event. Oh, well, I thought you were telling me that. Oh, 5 minutes? I got to make Rich talk for another 5 minutes? I can talk too? Excellent. Well, Rich, now that we know that we have 5 more minutes to talk, we can talk about things in greater depth. What are you seeing as far as your client base is active versus less active? Are you seeing public companies, private investment companies, individuals? What is it that you see the most active with your overall national perspective on the market?
I would have to say it's consistent with what we heard some of the speakers talking about. To the extent that we're representing the investment funds and the REITs in the core areas, they're looking to buy, you know, good type projects, existing cash flowing projects that they can add to their inventories. And on the other side of it, we're looking at representing a lot of both individuals and smaller firms that are looking for value add projects.
Who's the type of client that is best served by Ackerman's real estate department? Large, small, medium sized, complex problem, simple problem?
Well, that's a good question. We have a very broad stable of clients, and we try to service them the best we can throughout the ranges there. We have a lot of, I guess I would have to say that commercial clients that are doing deals, whether it's leasing property or they're buying and selling property or they're looking at development prospects, across that range. Right now, as you know, Jim, development's not real hot. You know, the banks aren't necessarily lending for new construction projects, with a few exceptions, like multifamily, and a few others. So most of our clients right now are either looking at maintaining what they have and enhancing what they have, or they're looking to add some value by bringing in new projects that are maybe having trouble with their other owners or developers.
How about, you'd mentioned when you were talking about bringing some laterals over, things like that, about your billing rates. I would think that if you're competitive on billing, that it's great if you're a small firm, a small business looking for big firm representation.
And I think that's right. There are a lot of different markets, especially when we're talking about some of the national practices that we have. Mm-hmm. Instead of hiring attorneys that are servicing you out of money center locations, a lot of our attorneys came out of those markets. And so if you hire Ackerman, you're hiring the same type of attorney that you would have hired in the money center markets.
Well, I want to thank you for maintaining your confidence and your focus while Juan continues to make these random noises that mess things up. But Juan is an American hero. He's done tours in Afghanistan, so we have to cut him some slack. We got 1 minute left, Rich. So why don't you tell people, again, about how they can get a hold of you, the practice leader for Ackerman Center Fitz Real Estate Group.
Well, thank you, Jim. They can contact me at richard.beazle@ackerman.com.
All right. Well, this is Jim Freed. We're here with Freed on Business from the Ackerman U.S. Real Estate Conference 2012.
Hi, this is Jim Freed. Need commercial real estate financing? How about some equity to get your project capitalized? I can help. Call me at 305-854-5000, extension 222. Apartments, retail, hotel, office, and healthcare. We can help you get capitalized. Need to restructure your capital stack? Call me at 305-854-5000, extension 222.
What does it mean when you're the first to use a patient's own stem cells to repair his damaged heart? When you're the first to develop life-saving techniques to treat a baby still inside its mother's womb? It means all at once, one health system becomes a magnet for world-renowned specialists in every field of medicine. A place where doctors spend their lives discovering ways to save yours. That's why every year our life-saving innovations attract patients from every corner of the globe. Shouldn't we be your first choice for healthcare too? We are UHealth, the University of Miami Health System, South Florida's most advanced medical care. Learn more at uhealthsystem.com or call 1-877-243-4340.
It is is Hugo Perez of Data Corp. In today's fast-paced business climate, a business executive like you needs help keeping up with technology innovations that can help drive profits. Data Corp is the IT partner that you're looking for. Data Corp has been recognized as the number one ranked small business in South Florida. Our 10 years of service excellence integrating server systems got us to the top. Let us help you get to number one in your field. Make Data Corp your IT trusted advisor. Call me, Hugo Perez, at 954-671-5650. Again, that is 954-671-5650. Or visit our website, www.data-corporation.com. And remember, Data Corp is powered by partnerships and driven by service.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back with more Freed on Business, and we're going to have Jeffrey DeBoer, President and CEO of the Real Estate Roundtable, on with us right after this segment. And I apologize for messing up your name, Jeffrey. It's my bad. I'm doing as good as I can here. We're at the Ackerman Center for U.S. Real Estate Summit here in Miami, Florida, but we're talking national topics, and now we're going to talk private equity and the opportunities driving investing. We're here with Ariel Bentana, Managing Member of Beacon Investments, and Matt Lynch, Managing Director and Head of Global Real Estate, U.S. UBS Global Asset Management. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to find out from Ariel. Ariel, you're directly investing in real estate right now.
Absolutely. We basically buy office buildings in the Southeast and in Texas, and we do it on behalf of high net worth individuals and institutional investors.
Well, that's great. And so office in the Southeast, it seems sort of like that's been a asset class that's taken some lumps over the past couple of years, which means that there should be some good values out there.
Absolutely. There's great opportunities in the office sector. It's a sector that a lot of the institutional buyers primarily are concentrating on New York and D.C. and Boston, and they're leaving the secondary markets to us. And some of those deals are of a certain size that high net worth individuals cannot buy. So there's a void for funds like ours that that can get to buy sizable assets and compete and buy them at pretty good pricing, be able to offer competitive rental rates to tenants, and eventually as people are less afraid of the economy, institutional buyers come back into secondary markets, be able to dispose of them at competitive pricing.
Yeah, you'll get cap rate compression when demand goes up. Now, let's see, so you're buying in the secondary markets. Are you buying all cash or are you getting some financing?
No, there's plenty of financing now available for stabilized deals. CMBS market is back. Life insurance companies are pretty active. Even some of the local banks are lending. And you can get even 75% loan-to-value from some of the CMBS lenders. And obviously, interest rates are so low that they're making a lot of the deals that otherwise wouldn't be profitable. They're making them pretty profitable because there's a big spread between the cap rates that you're buying properties at 7.5% to the 4 or 5% fixed interest rate for 10 years that the lenders are lending you money on.
Well, that sounds great. Now, let's get Matt here in the discussion. Matt's a managing director and head of global real estate for US UBS Global Asset Management. Matt, what are you seeing? You're on the asset management side?
Well, we are an institutional investment manager. We invest in all the four major property types as well as hotel on a national basis on behalf of pension funds and related institutional investors, not on behalf of high net worth individuals. Last year was a very large investment year for us, but we in fact made no investments in office in the Southeast or indeed in the Southwest. The office investments we made were in some of the markets that were mentioned before, New York, Boston, and Chicago. And we took some lease-up risk in Boston and New York and none in Chicago. I think the secondary markets are very interesting. You always have to be worried about what your exit strategy is. Will there be increased investor interest in those markets, particularly in the larger size assets, or will there not be? At this point, there's a significant spread between the primary and the secondary markets, and it's a good play.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think that Ariel has really framed out well what the disparity is, and having you both on the panel here is actually terrific because you're looking at the same assets in different places for probably the right reasons. Now, I think that your investments are generated by, your investment strategies might be generated by your sources of capital, with REL having to give a little bit more of an entrepreneurial yield, and with Matt giving more of an institutional yield, and that's because of your source of capital. Is that a correct perception, guys? Matt, maybe first?
Yeah, I think that is correct. Our investors are looking at the NCREIF benchmark as what they're looking at to get over a long term. The unleveraged NCREIF benchmark is about 9.5% average annual over a 33-year period, and that's the sort of investment target that they're looking at. They're also looking at a lower volatility type investment, and for most of our investors who are trying to match pension liabilities, they can't get there in a fixed income investment, and so they're increasingly allocating dollars away from fixed income and towards predominantly core real estate, which has a significantly higher income yield. The index is about 5.9 to 6% income yield at this point, and had about a 14% return this last year. So that's what our investors are looking for. I do think it's important that you really need to understand what it is your investors are looking for. As long as you deliver that, they're going to be happy with you. But high net worth investors are somewhat different.
Yeah, Ariel, what are the high net worth investors looking to do? And I guess you accumulate them into single asset limited partnerships, or do you create a blind pool fund?
Yeah, we create for high net worth individuals blind pool funds, which essentially means that we have the discretion to identify the assets we're investing in. And for small institutions, what we do is separate accounts, which essentially means they give us an allocation of money with an investment, defined investment box that we have to hit. And then they have always the veto rights or the discretion to approve or disapprove a specific asset. And as Matt was mentioning, you know, what they're looking for is higher returns, higher cash on cash that we're giving from 10 to 12% cash on cash. And they're looking to get pretty close to 20% IRR at the end of the day.
And what is your typical hold period that you look at? Because the longer the hold period, the tougher it is to hit that 20.
That's correct. Our funds are typically 5 to 10 years, depending on whether it's a core or a plus or a value-added fund. And that typically gives us the ability to either hold it throughout or just sell it when we think the time is right and then reinvest the capital.
Now, Matt, we've been real heavy on office buildings, but you invest in other... One more minute? Only 1 minute? Oh, my God. Well, we only have a minute left, thanks to Juan over there, the American hero. But Ariel, if people want to find out more about investing in your funds, how do they do that?
Yeah, we are at www.beaconri.com.
Okay, well, Ariel
Bentata is okay.
I'm so sorry. I'm having a bad afternoon. Ariel, if people want to get a hold of you, I'm sure that they will. And Matt, do you take you only take roadshow investments, right?
Yeah, institutional investments. Got to start with $5 million.
Okay, well, some of our listeners have $5 million. How do they get a hold of you?
Well, we do have a website, ubs.com, but all of our funds are privately placed, so that's as far as I can go.
That's fine, and that's good, and I want to thank you both for being guests on Freedom Business's special event here at the Ackerman Center for U.S. Real Estate Summit from Miami. We'll be right back with our final guest, and that final guest is going to be Jeffrey D. DeBoer, President and CEO of the Real Estate Roundtable. Back after this with Jeff, we are going to have some great topics to talk about.
Hi, this is Jim Fried. Need commercial real estate financing? How about some equity to get your project capitalized? I can help. Call me at 305-854-5000, extension 222. Apartments, retail, hotel, office, and healthcare. We can help you get capitalized. Need to restructure your capital stack? Call me at 305-854-5000, extension 222.
What does it mean when you're the first to use a patient's own stem cells to repair his damaged heart? When you're the first to develop life-saving techniques to treat a baby still inside its mother's womb? It means all at once, one health system becomes a magnet for world-renowned specialists in every field of medicine. A place where doctors spend their lives discovering ways to save yours. That's why every year our life-saving innovations attract patients from every corner of the globe. Shouldn't we be your first choice for healthcare too? We are UHealth, the University of Miami Health System, South Florida's most advanced medical care. Learn more at uhealthsystem.com or call 1-877-243-4340.
Ask Dr. Victor Franks how I lost 40 pounds in 4 months under his supervision. Ask Dr. Victor Franks how to lose weight and stay healthy without working out. Ask Dr. Victor Franks how to relax and stay that way for hours. Ask Dr. Victor Franks how to keep your energy up while you increase your workload or your workout load. Ask Dr. Franks by calling 305-975-8748 or go to his website, www.AskDrFranks.com. You'll be glad you did.
This is Hugo Perez of Data Corp. In today's fast-paced business climate, a business executive like you needs help keeping up with technology innovations that can help drive profits. Data Corp is the IT partner that you're looking for. Data Corp has been recognized as the number one ranked small business in South Florida. Our 10 years of service excellence integrating server systems got us to the top. Let us help you get to number one in your field. Make Data Corp your IT trusted advisor. Call me, Hugo Perez, at 954-671-5650. Again, that is 954-671-5650, or visit our website, www.data-corporation.com. And remember, Data Corp is powered by partnerships and driven by service.
At Estrella Marketing Solutions, their dedicated and highly skilled professionals are committed to the success of each and every valued client. With decades of combined experience in marketing, internet technologies, database management, as well as art and design, the Estrella team is more than equal to the task at hand, helping companies make the most effective use of their marketing budget while providing the expertise and support required to consistently achieve superior results. Estrella backs their people up with cutting-edge technology, superior customer support systems, and all the tools they need to ensure the best possible result with every campaign Estrella develops, manages, and tracks. They are helping Jim Fried build his business. Let them help you build yours. So join companies like Kraft, Motorola, TiVo, Best Western, Dish Network, National Geographic, AT&T, and Microsoft, and become a member of the Estrella team. Call Adam at 561-274-4443 or look Estrella up on their website at www.estrellams.com.
You're listening to Fried on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
All right. This is just an awesome event. We've been here all day long. This is a special edition of Fried on Business here on 880 AM, The Biz. We're here at the Ackerman U.S. Real Estate Summit, and we've got our cleanup hitter with us. Our cleanup hitter is Jeff DeBoer. Jeff is the head of the Real Estate Roundtable. You asked me, what is the Real Estate Roundtable? And I'm going to ask Jeff, what's the Real Estate Roundtable?
Well, thank you. The Real Estate Roundtable is an organization that represents the top players in commercial real estate. We have CEOs. We're a CEO organization. From all different food groups in real estate, office, multifamily, hotel, industrial, and so forth, and all the capital providers, the big national players, and then all of the trade associations are part of us, too. So we have 16 national trade associations, BOMA, NAOP, ICSC, the shopping center people, the realtors, the mortgage bankers, et cetera, et cetera. And the idea here is to get everybody working together in Washington to talk about real estate in a coherent way so that people in Washington understand the importance of real estate and how we contribute to the economy and local communities.
Hold on. You said Washington and coherent in the same sentence.
Shocking.
Yes, it's very shocking.
I understand, but we're trying here. We're trying.
Now, what are some key initiatives that are impacting the real estate industry beyond the general economic circumstances? There's other issues that are going on in Washington that affect the real estate industry. What are some of your key initiatives for the upcoming session of Congress?
Well, we're working. We think that we need to reduce the tax penalty for investment that comes from offshore. So when foreigners invest in U.S. real estate here, they face a tax on their capital gain that's higher than if they just buy stock or if they invest in other countries' real estate.
Well, that doesn't sound fair.
Well, it's not fair, and we're trying to lower it. And we look, we need a lot of equity in this country, and everybody talks about real estate coming back and commercial real estate's doing good and all this money that's flowing, and it is. But the fact of the matter is we've got about $1.5 trillion that matures in commercial real estate over the next 3-4 years, loans that are out there. A lot of these loans need equity to make them work, so we're trying to bring in equity. We think it'll help the bank books. We think it'll help communities. And so we're working on bringing in more equity. We're also very, very interested in trying to get buildings more energy efficient. And there's a lot of hurdles out there to making buildings more energy efficient. Some of them have to do with tax things. Some have to do with capital to do it. So we're trying to get policies to make building owners more energy efficient. You look like you have something you'd like to say.
Yeah, 100%. I live in a building that was built in 1984. It's a very, very glass sheet curtain type of building, and I can tell you is it's been windy here for a week, and the wind just blows right through my apartment. The energy costs go up, the cooling goes out. It's just totally energy inefficient. It's not up to code, and they have no motivation to change that.
Well, I don't know that they don't have any motivation. I don't know who the building owner is, but I don't know about motivation. They may not have the capital to do it.
Okay, maybe that's
the
problem.
They may not have the capital to do it. They may not have the incentive to do it. They may not be able to manage the tenants within the building to make the building more energy efficient. We want to make this a lot more holistic so that people can make their buildings more energy efficient. We want to do the right thing. Building owners want more income. They can get more income if they make their buildings more energy efficient.
Sure.
They want investors to invest in, they want tenants to move there, and they'll do that. A lot of people want to be in green buildings, and so this is a benefit across the board for people, but there are some hurdles to doing it. I don't know about your building owner, but maybe they just want to freeze you out, Jim.
They're all right. I know my building owner. They
go.
Got more money than God, and they can fix it when they want. Now, office. What's going on with office these days? We had a couple of office investors on. What are your constituents talking to you about our issues in the office market?
Well, look, the main issue for everybody, but primarily office, is jobs. Look, we've got to get jobs out there. The real estate industry is a derivative of the overall economy, and it's a derivative of job creation. So if businesses can expand, if they're hiring people, offices will fill up. So it's really jobs. Where are the jobs coming from? How are you going to get the capital to keep your building modern and to attract tenants? So those are really the big issues for the office market. Obviously, markets are different all over the place. There's markets and there's submarkets. So, it's different all over, but basically jobs.
Now, I've gone to Tallahassee with NAIOP, with ICSC many times to lobby. And one of the things that I've come to learn is that there is not necessarily an alignment of interest between the constituent groups that you represent. Let's just say the realtors don't necessarily want the same thing as some of the large commercial owners want. We're seeing that right now in the state of Florida, where we've got a bunch of issues that there's a cross tension with. How do you deal with that on a national level? Or do you see that at the national level, most of them decide to pull together on the main issues?
Well, look, what we're trying to do at the roundtable is to take those issues that are so large, that cut across product type and sort of cut across entity classification, public, private, office, multifamily. We're trying to provide a leadership role to get everybody marching in the same direction. Now, look, on individual issues, individual groups are going to have a different point of view. The ICSC, for example, may be focused on internet sales tax. That might not be of any interest to the office community or to the multifamily community. And so it's across the board. But on big issues, capital gains, tax reform, credit and capital
depreciation.
Depreciation, things like this that cut across. That's what the roundtable is trying to do. And we're up there working. Look, every day I talk to members of Congress, I talk to their staffs, and we try to be fact-based. Look, I am a lobbyist. You're seeing one right here. I'm not a, this isn't evil that you're looking at. We're trying to help members of Congress get the right decision. That's what we're all about.
Well, I've always found that when I go up as a citizen lobbyist, that my role is to inform and to meet. Because if you don't inform and you don't meet your representative, somebody else is. And your ox will be gored unless you're there protecting your interests. So I believe that lobbyists provide an excellent benchmark and breakwater and firewall against some of the more inane things that go on.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not just that somebody else is talking to them. I mean, look, these people are just people, and they need information, you know. And so we're up there educating. We're talking to them, and we want them to reach an educated decision. They don't have to believe us on everything. They don't have to do everything, but they need to know the information.
No, and they need to trust you, too, and you need to be credible. And that's why I'm very glad that the real estate industry has an advocate like you up on the hill.
Thank you.
Now, if people want to get more involved in the Real Estate Roundtable, want to get some information, I know that membership is restricted to C-level type people at these big companies, but I'm sure that you have outreach or informational dissemination things that just about anybody can read and see.
We do. We need information from people, and we want to provide information. So you can get us at our website, rer.org. You can get me at my email, jdebor@rer.org, and we're happy to provide information to anybody, whether they are a member of the roundtable or not.
Yeah, well, that's your job, is to provide information, isn't it?
It is the bread and butter of what I do.
So the Real Estate Roundtable, based up in Washington.
Yes, sir.
Again, how do they get a hold of you? Because it's very important. You've given us some great information, but the most important thing is how people can join in your efforts to move Congress.
RER.org, and you can get all the information, fact sheets, calls for action, etc., etc.
Now, do you ever go up there and lobby on Capitol Hill, bring some of your constituencies up there?
We do, constantly. We are testifying, we're submitting letters, we're going up there, one-on-one meetings, it's day-to-day.
Well, listen, I can't thank you enough, Jeff DeBoer, President and CEO of the Real Estate Roundtable, standing out there as the tip of the spear for the real estate industry, making sure our ox does not get gored. Thank you so much, Jeff. We are going to just wrap up the show now. So what I want to do is I want to thank Ackerman Centerfit for inviting me to broadcast live from their U.S. Real Estate Summit this year. It's been a terrific show. We've had some great guests. I want to thank Rich Beasold. I want to thank Scott Heilman. I want to thank Jeff DeBoer. There you go, Jeff. I want to thank Ariel Bentana, and I want to thank Matt Lynch. I want to thank everybody that was here. I want to thank Juan for coming out and running the show, even though he made the random noises. I want to thank Johnny, 305.
High five.
All right, gives me the high five for tweeting the show.
Love it here.
We'll be on next Thursday on our regular time, and what I'd like to do is make sure that you remember that the person who wants to do something finds a way, the other finds an excuse. Now go out there and make it happen.
Jim, I don't put it out. But out of South Alabama, come a country boy. He said, I'm looking for a man named Jim. I am a fool shooting boy. My name is Willie McCoy. But down at home, they call me Slim.